Hi, my name is Ben Glens. I'm a Microsoft MVP for Cloud and Data Center Management. Today is March 17, 2016, and you're watching the fifth video in a series covering Azure Automation Desired State Configuration. This video is the second video on the two-part advanced onboarding subject. In this part, I'll cover onboarding Windows and Linux nodes running in Azure using the VMDSC extension for Windows or the DSC extension for Linux. The extensions will be added to VMs using both PowerShell scripts and through JSON templates. So let's dive in. What you see here is the first region of my script I already ran. My working directory is already set correctly. I loaded up my Azure account. My automation account is captured in this variable. As you can see here, the keys associated with that account are in the keys variable, including, of course, the endpoint API URI. I captured the resource group, which contains all the nodes I'm going to work with today. And I hard-coded my storage account name for this session, including the location as well. The first node I'm going to onboard is a Windows node. Let's have a look at some commandlets made available to us through the Azure RM Compute module. So what you see here are the commandlets with the Azure RM VMDSC noun. We got a couple of them, most notably the publish Azure RM VMDSC configuration commandlet and the set Azure RM VMDSC extension. So first off, what we're going to do is we're going to use the publish Azure RM VMDSC configuration commandlet to archive a configuration script, which will be picked up by the DSC extension later on. So let's have a look at the script we're going to use to onboard a node. As you can see, this is a DSC local configuration manager configuration. So this will generate a metamorph, so the node will get onboarded. We have two parameters defined, endpoint and key, which will be provided later on. And the rest of the settings are coded up front. So we're going to use the publish Azure RM VMDSC configuration commandlet. In this case, we're going to specify the output archive path parameter. Because we specify this parameter, the archive isn't going to end up into an Azure storage account, but it will end up into my on my local hard drive. So let's do that. And let's have a look inside of that archive we just generated. So it's a normal zip file containing the configuration script, and it also contains a JSON file which specifies everything that's contained in this archive. So now for the real thing, we're going to generate this configuration archive and upload it into a storage account. So let's first acquire the storage account. And as you can see, we have the storage account captured in this variable right now. And what we're going to do now is pipe the storage account information into the publish Azure RM VMDSC configuration commandlet. We're going to give the configuration path again through the PS1 configuration script. So this again will generate a zip file, but in this case, it will be uploaded to that storage account. There you have it. The output of the commandlet specifies the URI of the archive. Now let's have a quick look at the containers in the storage account, and you can see that the Windows PowerShell DSC container has been generated for us as well. And inside of that container, we can see the ps1.zip file. So the archive is successfully uploaded in the storage account. So the first node we're going to onboard is this DSC node 1. Let's capture him in this variable. Let's have a quick look. And as you can see, it's a 2012 R2 data center Windows VM. This means that it's WMF4 and it will be during onboarding or during the installation of the DSC extension, be upgraded to WMF5 RTM. So it will take a while for the onboarding to finish. We're going to give the set Azure RM VMDSC extension a couple of parameters, which are defined in this hash table. First off, we're going to specify the resource group name in which the VM is located. We're going to give the VM name. We're going to specify the archive name, which is contained into our storage account, the storage account name, of course, and also the resource group for the storage account, because the storage account might as well was located in another resource group. It doesn't really matter. We specify the container name. We specify the configuration as it will be called once the configuration script is loaded into memory. So as you would have seen earlier on, it's called LCM. We're going to give the commandlet our wish to have the latest WMF version, so that will be WMF5 in this case, RTM version, and we use the DSC VM extension version 2.15. So if you're interested in the history of the VM DSC extension, I've embedded this URI. Let's have a look there. And this is quite a nice blog to have a look at what's happening with the DSC extension. Currently, so it's version 2.15, and they fixed something introduced by installing WMF5, some kind of bug. The 2.14 was the first version to install WMF5, the re-released RTM. And 2.13, for example, was downgraded to public preview again because of the WMF5 being pulled. So anyway, if you're interested into this extension, then this is probably a good blog to look at and to figure out what is the latest version available for you. So let's head back to the script. So as you have seen in the configuration script, there were a few parameters. So we have here the configuration arguments, and we're going to specify the endpoint and the key to be, of course, the automation account endpoint and the primary key. So if you load it into memory, then we have the hash table available to us, and we can split it against this commandlet. So as I've already told, the DSC extension installation will actually trigger the WMF5 RTM installation as well. So this will take a while. I'll pause the video for a bit, and I'll come back once the onboarding is done. And there we go. We have a successful onboarding, as we can see by the output of the commandlet. Let's have a quick look in the portal how this looks. So this is the node we onboarded. We actually attached the DSC extension to it. And there you have it. We can in the future also attach the DSC extension through this UI. In the old portal, it was already possible, but in the new ARM or Ibiza portal, it's not yet available to us. So we need PowerShell or CLI to manage the extensions. So that's what we're doing in this video. We see already the provisioning succeeded, and we can look at the details of this DSC extension. And here we can see the URI already of the Azure Automation account we onboarded into. So looks good. So let's have a look at the automation account itself. And if it's okay, then we see one node has been onboarded. So pretty awesome, DSC node 1 has been onboarded. And in this case, no configuration was associated with it yet, so it's consistent, all right. So let's move along to the next node. And the next node is actually a Linux node called DSC node 2. Let's have a quick look. And here you see OpenLogic CentOS 7.2. So the DSC for Linux extension, how do you find it? Well, through PowerShell, there's the get Azure RMVM image publisher commandlet, which basically just looks up all the potential publishers of extensions or images or whatever, which are available to you in your location, in my case, West Europe. Because there are so many of them, I already created a little output filter for it. And here you can see we have the and here you see the OSTCE extensions. So this is the publisher we're using. So that's open source technology something, I don't know. So let's have a look at the image types available from that publisher. So we have the Azure Disk Encryption for Linux, Custom Script for Linux, DSC for Linux, which is the one we're going to utilize, and a couple of others as well. So if we're going to go and look for the image itself, the DSC for Linux image, we can see we currently have two versions available to us. So version 2 just published end of last week. And this is the version we need for onboarding into Azure Automation DSC. This is the first version that is compatible with it. because this version installs the correct OMI and DSC packages. So now we know which extension to use. We don't really know the parameters it needs. For this, there's currently no PowerShell interface, so your best bet is just go off into GitHub or view some ARM templates and look at those get a fix on what this extension actually needs to do its work. So we can have a quick look. Let's open up my favorite search engine and let's type in GitHub DSC for Linux VM extension. Let's have a quick look here. And there we have it. And as you can see here, they specified the public and protected configuration possibilities. So from this resource or from this GitHub site, you can actually figure out what the extension needs to do its work. Plus pretty decent, good explanation as well. So good stuff. Let's move along. So we have the variable here, OSTC extension arguments, and we're going to give it a whole lot of parameters to go with the set Azure RM VM extension commandlet, which is a commandlet basically capable of handling any extension. So we're going to specify that we're going to use the DSC for Linux extension version 2.0 in West Europe. We're giving it the process, which will go on a name, so that's AADSC onboard. We specify the VM name and the resource group where the VM is contained. These are the public settings, so this is the mode register. So this is actually new in 2.0. It uses a Python script from the DSC for Linux package to actually onboard on the fly into Azure Automation DSC. So this is new stuff. Normally you would need to generate a metamorph yourself and use that to onboard. I've also got an example of that as the next one. But first let's do this one. The protected settings, so that's the registration URL and the key. They will go into the protected settings. What's the difference between settings and protected settings? Well, settings are like public information. Those are stored in the control plane, so to say. So you can actually view later on what was put in there, and the protected settings are actually not visible from that perspective. So let's load this up into memory and start the addition of this DSC for Linux extension to this VM and start the onboarding. Again, this will take some time, not as long as the DSC for Windows extension, but I'll pause anyway and come back once we're finished. And we're back. So also this extension came through successfully. So return code true and status code okay. Quick look in the portal again. Let's refresh this one. So here we have DSC node 2, which is the Linux node. Have a quick look at desktop, which is node 2. And again, let's have a look at the extension view. And as you can see, the extension has provisioned succeeded and enabled succeeded. Again, you can see that here. So, okay. Now that you've seen the onboarding using the register method, we also will do an onboarding of a Linux node using the metamorph. So let's first load up this AADSC LCM config script, which we actually used to onboard the Windows node earlier on. Let's load that into our current session. And we call LCM and we provide it the endpoints and the key needed, and we put the localhost.metamorph resulting into my working directory. So let's do that. And you see we just generated that localhost.meta.morph. Have a quick look so you can see it. So again, the registration keys are in there in clear text, so you need to think about that. We have the URI of the automation account in there as well. Next, what we're going to do is we're going to create a new storage container. We're going to give this commandlet the context of our storage account. So basically, this is what it needs to go ahead and start working with that storage account. We're going to specify a name for our container, which is AADSC onboard, and the permission will be off because the extension will be provided with the storage account keys to get to the content later on. So now we have a storage container created. Here you have it. And we're going to upload that localhost.meta.mav into that container right now. And if we look at the result of this commandlet, we actually see that the localhost meta.mav is actually in there. This time we're going to onboard DSC Node3. Have a quick look and see it's again Linux. And same as last time, but this case we're going to specify a few different settings. The mode is not register anymore, but it's pool. We're going to provide the file URI, which is the storage account URI, including the container and the file name after it. And we're going to give the protected settings for the storage account interfacing. So the key to get into the storage account and the storage account name. So let's load those into memory and split it against set Azure RM VM extension commandlet, and we'll wait it out for a bit, so I'll be back in a sec. And we're back again, and again we have a successful onboarding of another Linux node. So next what we're going to do is onboard a Windows node again, this case DSC node 4, but we're going to use GitHub template to do it. Well, actually it's a template hosted in GitHub, and we're going to use that. So what you see here is a repository put together by Charles Joy, PM, I believe, on the Azure Stack team currently. He put together this Azure Deploy.json, which we're going to use. Let's look at raw content for a second. And this is a JSON template. So a JSON file actually contains all the information the ARM API needs to provision resources. How they are linked together, which have dependencies on each other, which is the good order to provision in, which stuff can be handled in parallel, for example. This template actually is used for existing VMs. You can embed the VMDSC extension resource configuration into a larger JSON file, which contains, for example, an entire development environment for your will. You can make this as big as you want to. So you can see this JSON file actually has a parameter section, and those parameters are defined here: VM name, modules URL, configuration function, stuff like that. We will use PowerShell to provide those parameters with content, with values. You can see that it also has a variable section. In this case, the variable section is not used. And we have a resources section. In this case, we're going to use the resource type virtual machine extension. And we're going to have the DSC extension of version 2.13 used to start our onboarding later on. The settings for this DSC extension are handled in this settings piece. So you have the properties, the password for the registration key, the URL, and that's about it. So template also could have an output section, which is normally located somewhere here. So you can string together or interrogate the API and for example, have it spit out the correct URI when you provision a web server or something. So this is the JSON template we're going to use. No need to download it. We can just get it directly from the web. But we need the raw URI. So the raw URI here. And again, we're going to use the Azure RM commandlets. So we're going to use new Azure RM resource group deployment. So a JSON template is actually held against the resource group to do its job. So resources in the resource group are the target for our deployment in this case. So this commandlet, we're going to give it the template URI, So the GitHub URI, we're going to specify the mode to be incremental, so we're not doing any overrides in this case. The resource group name, of course, and then we have the template parameter object. So these are all the parameters you saw earlier on in the JSON template itself. So we're going to provide the VM name, the registration key and URI. No node configuration. What we could actually do is give this configuration name up front. So once the node is onboarded, it immediately pulls down the configuration specified here and starts converges as well. This specific template created by Charles will take a timestamp. And I believe it does take this timestamp. So if you want to trigger the extension again, you just generate a new timestamp. And because the whole thing is idempotent, in this case the timestamp is changed, so it will actually trigger the extension to do its job again. If the timestamp was not in there, then no changes were detected, and the DSC extension would just sit there and do nothing, from my understanding. So we load it up into memory, and again, because this is a Windows VMDSC extension, PowerShell 5 or WMF 5 will be installed, so it will take a while. Let's execute it and pause the video again, and we'll be back once this is done. And the deployment has finished. So again, I believe it's succeeded. All right. And here you can see that we inputted that template link and we have the parameters here. And you can see that the secure string registration key is empty. So it's not in the resource group logs, so to say. So if we could have a quick look at the resource group itself. So that's a DSC nodes group. Here you can see actually all the VMs and all the resources we're using in this video. And we can have a look at the deployment. So I just did this deployment, the Azure deploy one. And you can see, again, all the parameters, but no registration key because it was handled securely. So for any extension which has settings which should be hidden from this view, then they should be in the secure settings piece of the configuration. So this was DSC node 4. Have a quick look at the extension itself. And as you can see, it also provisioned succeeded. So the DSC configuration was applied successfully. You see that actually version 2.15 was installed. That's because in the JSON template, I believe, auto upgrade minor version is set to true. So everything behind the dot will be upgraded to latest version. So that's good stuff. And you can see the output of the extension itself. So currently we have four nodes onboarded, one to go, which is a Linux node again. In this case, I created my own JSON template. I did that because, basically there's no template available today to do what I'm going to do here. Again, this template assumes that a VM is already deployed, so we specify the VM name, registration key, and registration URI. No variables, and we give the resource DSC for Linux, some protected settings. So that's basically all it does. I will host this JSON file on my GIST, which is also a GitHub feature. And I will put the URIs to those GIST underneath this video recording on channel 9. Also, the demo 5 PS1 will be made available that way. So in this case, node 5 will be onboarded. As you have seen, we're going to give it this local template file. So it doesn't have to be a web-hosted one. It can be local as well. And the parameters are the registration key and the URI, like that. So let's host that get that into memory and split it against that command loop. And for the last time in this video, I'm going to pause and be back in a sec. And this deployment has succeeded as well. Again, you can see a registration key is not recorded. And well, that was the final node to be onboarded. Let's have a look at the portal. So in the automation account, we should now see five nodes onboarded. So all five nodes in this video. And indeed, we have all five of them. So good stuff. That's basically it for onboarding. So in this series now, you have seen onboarding through the portal UI, which is actually only available within the subscription where the automation account resides as well. You've seen manual onboarding using manually configured or generated meta.mavs, and the way to install the Linux packages. So you can onboard in any environment you want, any cloud you want, whatever. And in this final onboarding video, you've seen using the DSC for Windows extension and the DSC for Linux extension in two varieties of ways, through native PowerShell commandlets and through the use of JSON templates. So those commandlets and those templates, they can be used with Azure Stack as well. So everything you learn using these videos can be applied to Azure Stack as well. And all your Azure Stack VMs can be onboarded into Azure Automation in the same manner. Once a new onboarding mechanism becomes available, if any becomes available again, probably I'll end up shooting another video. I'm making the demo files available on my GIST, as already mentioned earlier on. And well, in the next video, we're going to do some advanced configuration stuff. And that will be a wrap-up for this series. So I hope you enjoyed this video and hope to see you for the last one as well.